you've been here on Sunday morning for the last couple of months, you recognize and understand what the Spirit of God is trying to communicate through John to the church. And there's a lot of things he's trying to communicate, but ultimately it's this idea of blessed assurance and understanding that through Jesus and in Jesus, that's what we have. Right, church? We have a blessed assurance. And I think that's why you're here this morning. It's why we gathered around the Lord's table to remember that promise that was given through that perfect sacrifice, unblemished body, perfect blood, sinless Son of God, offering Himself for all of us to redeem us. To remind us again in each week that we have the hope of eternal life. I want us to turn to 1 John chapter 4, for that's our text this morning. I appreciate Tyler leading us in that song, because that song comes from this passage, and that's what this is about. God is love, and ultimately, John is going to tell us we ought to love one another. That's the text. Let's read this morning, starting in verse 7. We're going to read through verse 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit, or His Holy Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. We're not going to cover every verse of this. I think John, just by looking at the key word of this text, explains what this is all about. Matter of fact, if you go back and read, depending on your translation, my translation, you'll find the word love 27 times. That doesn't include John's affectionate word that he uses, beloved, when he calls them my beloved. So some form of the word love is in there 27 times, which means about two times every verse, John is talking about love and loving one another. I want to illustrate this with a human story an everyday story that we would understand and we would grasp, and then we'll get into our lesson. It's one of my favorite stories, told in Jim McGuigan's book titled Hero of Thy Soul. And it's a story about an army sergeant that had spent all of his life in the military. He was a very, very hardened man. He had grew up around hardened people in the military. But he said in this story, there was no one, the sergeant said, no one that was any harder than a corporal that he had served with, another very hardened man. But one day the corporal came in the presence of all of those soldiers and the sergeant and his men, and he announced that he was giving his life over to Jesus Christ. He had been baptized into Jesus, became a new person. And it was one of those transformations that we would say was radical transformation. It was a complete turnaround. It was the opposite direction. The man's life had completely changed. There was no more drunkenness, going out with the buddies, partying it up. There was no more language and filthy talk and brawling and fighting, which often took place amongst those guys. There was no more immorality coming from his life anymore. This was truly a radical transformation. Well, you can imagine how this was taken from the soldiers and the sergeant that he had worked with. At first, they were kind of amused, you know, chuckle a little bit like people do. Then in time, they became skeptical, but after a while, they actually began to provoke the corporal. Not only provoke him, they began to insult him and then even threaten him physically with violence. The story goes that one day the men had returned from a long, tiring, muddy march. They were all tired, and the sergeant had taken off of his boots, collapsed on his cot, and laid his boots along the side of his cot. The room was silent. But the sergeant leaned over and he noticed the corporal over there, that he was down on his knees next to his cot, and that he was praying. Well, this made the sergeant mad as he looked over, so he took one of his muddy boots and he picked it up and he threw it at the corporal and he hit him in the shoulder while he was praying. He just continued on in his business. He kept praying. Well, this really infuriated the sergeant, and so he got up from the cot, he grabbed his other muddy boot and he threw it as hard as he could at the corporal and hit him in the head. Smacked him, thumped him right upside the head. The boot, it hit home. The corporal, he was in pain and he was rubbing his head, but he continued on in his business of praying. Finally, the story says that they all had gone to sleep. And the next morning, the sergeant had woke up to find the corporal missing. He was gone. And he glanced down to look for his boots, and there they were. And he noticed that his muddy boots were no longer muddy. They had been polished. Clean. Sitting nicely beside his cot. The sergeant remarked, and I don't know the rest of all of that story other than that situation was the last straw in his life. His life was never the same because the sergeant gave his life to Jesus Christ as well. I love that story and stories like that because I think they illustrate to us, church, a little glimpse. A little glimpse of the nature of what God's love is. I think that's a small example of what John is saying, that God is love. The very nature of God is that. It is love. And I think that is a great story to illustrate for us the nature of God's love. The act, for the sake of this lesson, of what I'm going to call the act of boot shining. And that's what John is talking about. He's talking about boot shining. He's talking about God and His love. I want to share with you three things about the act of boot shining. As you think back to this story, as you think of God's love for the world and what that love even looks like, what we even comprehend that love is like. And the first thing that we notice, the act of boot shining, is very unexpected, isn't it? You don't expect that. Truly, we don't see it very often in our world. I don't see it very often from my own life, to be honest with you, at that level. I'm trying, as you are, and we're striving and being perfected in this love. But we realize when we look to the cross, we realize we've got a long way to go. The act of boot shining is unexpected. Nobody expected a hardened man whose life was extremely hardened to all of a sudden be transformed and changed. To no longer go out with the boys and live that way. A man well educated in what I'm going to call, and I know you understand this, exact fairness. And yet he practiced exact opposite. The nature of the very love of God. You know, as I was studying this lesson once again, the word love is very troubling to me because of the way I use it and what it means and the way we use it in our life, right? I can give you illustrations, and you know what I'm talking about. Television, for one. You know, we don't watch in my family very much TV. Once in a while, lately we watched a little bit more. They've been the Cosby Show reruns, some good wholesome television. Carly loves I Love Lucy, right? Some good comedy, right? I Love Lucy. So we watch a little television. And I'll say something like, I love the Cosby Show. I love that. I love I Love Lucy, right? The new iPhone is coming out. I don't know. Maybe it's already out. I'm not sure. I'm behind. Some of you probably asked for that. Probably some of the young teens asked for a new phone for Christmas or something. Maybe you receive a new phone for work and you realize all that you can do with it. You realize what you realize what you can do on social media with it, all this. And we'll say things like, oh, I love the new iPhone. I love it. We understand what we're saying, but it still bothers me. It bothers me when I consider God's love and what it means, the truth of it, what love really is, and how I use that word. We use it to express our feelings about something that makes us feel a certain way. Typically, we say, it makes me feel happy, right? And we use it to express our relationship with God in the same sentence and His relationship with us. Notice what John said in verse 7 and 8. When he said, beloved, let us love one another. We're not going to cover every verse because it's all about this. Let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You see, the act of boot shining truly is unexpected. And you know, when you look at God and you look at His love, what John is saying here is that, and is really simple. Love originates from God. This kind of love would not be seen or exemplified in this world if it had not been learned from God. That's not the way man lives. That's not the way humans react. As a matter of fact, we struggle, even knowing God's love, to love one another, don't we, church? Let's just be honest. This sacrificial love is a challenge. But John is saying this love does originate from God. I love the line from Les Miserables. Kelly, she was looking at my PowerPoints this morning. She said, you know how to pronounce that? Make sure you don't say Les Miserables. It is by loving another that we see the face of God. Isn't that true? That's how we're going to understand God. That's how we're going to see God, by loving one another. The act of loving is so unexpected. And I wrote down three reasons why. There's myriads of reasons why. But looking at the story that I told you and thinking about God's love, first of all, it's often displayed or exemplified in the worst of moments. Imagine being that corporal. But yet, in that moment, that's where love was revealed. That's where love was exemplified and understood and learned and seen. Secondly, it's unexpected love, because it's not done only by one person or in one person. Anybody can do it. There isn't just one that loves. God is the one at the top. But anybody who loves Him loves one another. Matter of fact, all of us must do it. And that's not my must, that's John's. That's the Spirit of God saying that if we love God, we have to love one another. I have to love you, and you have to love me. Notice also the act of boot shining. Not only is it unexpected, but along the same lines, it's very unusual, isn't it? It's just different. Because we've been well educated by Satan. We've been well educated by the world. It's taught us how we're supposed to react. Just think for a moment how you would have reacted. But the act of boot shining is very, very unusual, completely different in a foreign way. When the sergeant woke up to find his dirty boots cleaned by the man he had just had his way with. He had just had his way, so he thought. What would have exact fairness have done in that moment? You tell me. Oh, there's a lot of ways we could say this is what I would have done. I would have thrown it back at him. I would have maybe made him eat it. Right? Or some other things I might have done with it. That's exact fairness. That's our world. But God is so different. He is so polar opposite. We marvel still every day we come together because of that kind of love. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that is what has drawn you to Him. You never say God's weak because He loved. It's been written, my reasoning they may counter. My speech they may distrust. My apparel they may despair. My face they may reject. And even my bargains may cause suspicion, yet love will melt all hearts like unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest of days. God's actions were completely foreign to the world. And not only did John the apostle, but Paul relates the same truth because it comes from the same Spirit. For Paul said in Romans 5, 6, and 8, for while we were still helpless. I know it was written to the Roman Christians, but were we helpless? Absolutely. That at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Were we ungodly in our sin? That's an understatement. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated. This is, imagine, think of a demonstration. You say, I'm going to give you a demonstration. Here's a demonstration of something, something. God says, I'm going to give you a demonstration. And my demonstration is of my love. And here's what the demonstration looks like. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was no exact fairness, church. Paul will also reiterate this to the Ephesians, worded a little differently, same truth, but God being rich in his mercy. It's all because of God's richness. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places. That's all God doing it. As I was thinking about that story I told you in the beginning of my lesson, I thought, our sin was a boot upside the head of God who chose to shine our boots. That takes a big being, doesn't it? And John says, because of that, beloved, if God shined our boots, we also have to shine one another's boots. Muddy or not, thrown at our head or not, we must shine the boots. That's John's lesson. That's really what he's saying. Looking at it a little another light, there's never been a boot upside the head like the cross of our Lord. That was a boot. Did he deserve that? He's called the sinless Son of God. God's one and only Son, the only perfect one. Boy, he deserved nothing but glory. He received glory, but not when he's on this earth. He got a boot upside the head, and the boot was for us. Notice verse 11. I want you to notice something that this lesson has taught me. And this is where moral obligation, that's right, I said obligation, comes into the equation when it comes to love. Because the Spirit says in verse 11 through John, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I don't personally, when you study this, I don't really like the English word ought, because I don't think what it implies, that's what John is saying. I think a better translation would be must. Because when you go back and look at it, you realize John is not giving you a nice suggestion. He's not saying give or take. This is a line in the sand. We say we're drawing lines, black or white. This is a line. It's a black or a white. That's what it is, church. It is not a nice suggestion. It is a moral obligation, meaning it is a must from Kurt. I don't have a choice. Well, I do, but I don't, you know, if I want to please God, it's my moral obligation. That's why this topic is so important, and I think why John stresses again and again and again the unusual nature of God's love. Let's look at a third point on that. The act of boot shining, thirdly, is unafraid. Now let me say that I don't think the corporal was a man who just because he started to love had absolutely no fear. You think that's what he meant, John meant by this? All of a sudden, I'm loving you more. That means I'm no longer going to have fear of spiders. I don't have fear of spiders anyway. That's not a problem of mine. I just smash those things. But whatever your fears are, what are your fears? Is John saying in this text, if you love one another, you're no longer going to be afraid of public speaking or heights. So now, since you love me, you can get up on your roof and put your Christmas lights on. Heights don't bother you anymore. I don't think that's what he's getting at. Now, I do think that as we love, it'll eliminate fear in our life. more and more. I don't think that's exactly what John is saying. And the reason I say that is look at verse 18 in this part of the verse. There is no fear in love. What's he talking about? Perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Fear involves punishment? What does he mean? What is he talking about? Back up to verse 17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence when? In the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. Think of all that John has said up to this point. That we can have assurance. I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. He says you want to live accordingly so that when you are in the presence of God, remember you don't shrink. That's fear. How many of you have had fear of God in the negative sense? Oh, think of the doubt. Looking back at your past and the biting of our nail moments. I don't know if I'm forgiven. We've all done it. Am I really forgiven? Listen, he's saying when we love one another, it eliminates fear when we're in the presence of God. We don't fear God in that way. I think that's what John is saying. We can have confidence in our salvation. Truly, the act of boot shining is unafraid. Or you could put unfearful there. And notice the motivation here. We love, he said, because he loved us first. Without him first, there is no perfection in our life, right? Without him first, your obedience doesn't mean anything. It's nothing. Forget your obedience. Forget your obeying his commandments. If God didn't love you first, you would have zilch. Nothing. You'd be lost. And I think this is what Paul was saying in Titus as well. When he said he saved us. I love this and I hang on to it. And I want you to too. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness. But according to his mercy, he saved you. By the washing of regeneration. Baptism language, by the way. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Which, by the way, you receive when you were baptized into Jesus. The Spirit is in us. So let me give you 3 points in conclusion. About shining boots and how we can shine boots. We shine boots by doing good for one another. When there's some good that we can do, we shine one another's boots. We love one another. It doesn't have to be as big as somebody throwing a boot at you and you shine the boot. You get it. There's an opportunity to put their interest above your interest. To seek their best interest, independent of what she has done for you or to you or said to you. We see the good that needs to be done and we do it. As Paul said, we do good to all men, yes, but especially those to the household of faith, your family. We shine boots by doing good for one another. Secondly, we shine boots for doing right or by doing right for one another. Do right anyway. That's love. In spite of is love. We don't practice exact fairness. Gosh, if God practiced exact fairness to me, I'm in some serious trouble. Lastly, we shine one another's boots by doing more for one another. Love is the nature of going way above and way beyond. But you're also going to notice that it is a Christian source, or the Christian source, of his greatest power to love. Not only our greatest power, but we have the power of the Spirit in us, moving us and motivating us to love. Somebody does want to come in and hear my sermon. The greatest power, the power of the Spirit, to motivate us to love one another. And again, be mindful of John's saying that it gives us confidence before God, which implies if we don't love, we will not have confidence before God. Which means we don't have the assurance that John has promised. Boot shining, far more than a suggestion. Far more than a nice suggestion, church. It's our moral obligation. So my lesson for all of us today, shine someone's boots. Go find somebody and love them anyway. God bless you, church. We're going to have an invitation song as we always do.